Sal, talking about your ball club, again, right now 4-11 in August, 3.5 games out of a wild card spot, looking up at four teams fighting for two spots. Given the team's struggles right now, Sal, what would you say to this ball club moving forward?
That's a good question. I think when you're not there, it's hard to say what to say. But in general, I know that the teams that usually can get hot, you know, right before the playoffs, you always have a chance. So you're basically going to try to be encouraging to the point of, let's just get hot now. You know what I mean? We got to do it now. If we can run off 5 in a row and then maybe another stretch of like 10 in a row, you can put yourself back in the hunt. So all you're trying to do is just get hot at the right time because, I mean, Baltimore can't stay this hot the whole year. I mean, they're going to lose eventually. You just don't know when.
Yeah, and you know, looking back at your career, Sal, is there a pennant race that really stood out to you more than any other? And perhaps it's for something good, maybe it's for something bad. Is there one that really stood out to you more than any other?
I remember in 99, it was my first time that I got traded. I went over to Oakland. We had a really good team back then. I mean, you guys can look up the roster in 99, but it was a pretty good team. We had an Anaheim team. That's what they were called at that time, was Anaheim. But they were really good, too. And we rattled off something unbelievable. Like, we won, like, 30 out of 30-some games, and Anaheim did the exact same thing. And we were going neck and neck, and neither of us could lose. But that was all. It all happened in late August to late September. And it was a pretty fun race. And it was like, you know, both teams wanted to go to the playoffs. And they were doing everything we could, and we ended up losing to New York in the playoffs that year. But that was probably the most fun race that I've ever been in, just to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and hopefully the Blue Jays can find themselves there. And, of course, Sal, being a former catcher and being a roving catching instructor with the Toronto Blue Jays, that's the position that you focus on the most. And if we may do so for a few moments, we'd like to. In talking at first at the big league level about Deonor Navarro, and you know, Sal, I have to admit, and it might be because the Blue Jays club a couple of off seasons ago in picking up R.A. Dickey and, well, you know, the names of all the players that had come along to the Toronto Blue Jays fold and the high expectations from a year ago, and the Blue Jays falling short of that, and then saying, okay, what are the Blue Jays going to do now in this offseason? And then Deonor Navarro was brought in to play catcher with the Toronto Blue Jays, and it didn't come in necessarily with a lot of pomp and circumstance, but I got to say that's one of the best moves the Toronto Blue Jays had made coming into this year, because all the talk about Navarro was, okay, well, how many games can he play? Can he be the starter? He's going to be a hole in the lineup. And neither of those things are talked about with Deonor Navarro this year.
Yeah, I mean, Deonor's been a great find for us. I think sometimes, you know, we always want to win the offseason with having these great offseason moves and win all the hype. And sometimes it's the most subtle of moves that really help. I think what Deonor did was really solidify the position behind the play. And just have that veteran presence that can help some of those young kids and nurture those young guys through some of the tough times. Because you're going to have tough times with younger pitching staff. Mm. So what he does do is he does know how to call a pretty good game, and he gives you the exact same guy every day. So you don't have those really big swings of, like, real emotional or real non-emotional. He goes out and he plays when he's supposed to play, and he does a pretty good job when he does it. And so to me, I'd rather... You know, we talk to the young kids about being consistent all the time, but Deonor really is the model of consistency. He is what he is. You get what you get every day. And sometimes that's more important than being the flashy free agent.
Yeah, it certainly has been quite an addition for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And you know, in talking about having a young pitching staff, and there are some examples not so much on the young side, let's put it that way, Mark Burley being one of them. And speaking to a former catcher now in you, Sal, your thoughts on Mark Burley in just his habit of letting the catcher decide what he's going to throw, and having a pitcher like that just stands on the mound, does what he's told, and does it well more often than not. What do you think of Mark Burley?
He'd be a dream for us to catch. As an older catcher, you do a lot of preparation before each game. And so what you want to do is you want to try to apply what you've prepared. And Mark gives you free rein to do that. And I think you know, Mark is a pretty good model of someone who trusts all of his pitches, where a lot of times you see a lot of shaking off. And that's because the pitchers just, you know, they're either not sure, they don't think it's right for the situation, but Mark believes that all of his pitches can get anybody out at any given time. And that's really what you'd like to get from your starting pitcher. So, I mean, I'd like to work together to create a game plan, but if someone's going to let me have the game plan, it makes it fun for me to catch, actually, really fun.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so. And looking at a catcher in the Blue Jays organization that you've spent a lot of time with, that you have really taken under your wing, A.J. Jimenez, and dealing with injuries of late, your thought on the progress of A.J. Jimenez, both from a health standpoint and a career standpoint?
Well, I think he was having a pretty good year up until about 2 weeks ago, where he came up with this flexor strain where he kind of hurt himself a little bit. You know, it's frustrating sometimes for me because I'm not there every day, so I don't get a chance to see what his work habits are every day. But, you know, knowing what I know about him, if given the opportunity in the major leagues, I think he's going to be a pretty good player. I don't know what it is about his arm that's happening, but that's why I'm actually here right now, because I want to get some scoop on what's going on and how we can try to resolve this situation. But for the most part, I mean, what he can do is he's a pretty good defensive player. So he can control a running game. He can block. You know, I think he's going to be a typical young hitter that can spray the ball a little bit. I don't think power is a big issue for him right now, but I think it's something he can graduate to. But the kind of player that he can be is he can be an impactful catcher behind the plate, especially defensively at this point.
Sal, when the Blue Jays go out and acquire a catcher, as they had with George Kotaras with the Buffalo Bisons, do you get on the phone with him right away? Do you talk to him right away? Like, what do you do when a new catcher is brought into the Blue Jays fold?
Well, I try to let, like, if we get a veteran guy, I try to let the veteran guy just come and play, let him get it acclimated. He doesn't need to bring him down his neck right away. When I come in, you know, I'm pretty much just going to evaluate. I'm going to see if there's anything that I can do to try to accentuate his game a little bit. Because with an older guy, you can only change so much. Obviously, we know George can hit a little bit, and I heard his defense can be suspect at times. So what you want to do is make sure that you can help him become a consistent major league player, whether it be catching or blocking or throwing, whatever he's deficient in. You want to try to embrace that, not just attack it, but you want to embrace it and try to get him to understand how we can fix it and how he can become, you know, an everyday major league player.
Your impressions of Max Pentecost, drafted 11th overall by the Toronto Blue Jays. So you spent time with him before he headed to Vancouver.
Yeah, I spent time with him for about a week in Florida, then 5 days in Vancouver. And one thing about Max is I don't think we've ever seen a catcher that was this athletic before. I went through and I scoured, you know, the history, my brain, and even the computer, trying to find out, like, who is an athlete that was this athletic. And he runs a 4-2, 4-3 down the first baseline all the time. Plus runner, number one. And he's not really a big guy, but he's not small either. He looks like he should be playing center field. That's how he's built. But, you know, the flexibility is still kind of an issue, and that's something that I'm attacking right now. And his arm swing is also another something that we're trying to attack and trying to clean up so he doesn't have any more shoulder problems. But he's a guy that I'm excited. I thought our scouting department did a tremendous job evaluating this kid. And there was a little bit of work there, though. He's not a finished product by any means. But I'm excited to get my hands on him, especially in instructional league, and see if we can develop what he's naturally been gifted with.
Well, it's exciting for Blue Jays fans to look forward to a player like that when hopefully he reaches the goal of being a Toronto Blue Jay at the big league level, but also for you as well, getting to work with a player and a talented athlete like that. We always talk a bit of music, Sal, when we have you on the show. And yeah. I got to tell you, I'm listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin live lately. And it got me thinking that if I could go back in time and see one band live in their prime, honestly, it might be the Beatles because I'm such a big Beatles fan, but it's hard to ignore Led Zeppelin. I mean, it's 1A and 1B in an answer. For you, who would it be?
Wow, that's, you know, I would probably be sitting next to you at that concert.
I thought so.
I could go back and see that. I mean, I think it would be great. you know, obviously, when my parents came over from Italy, I have an aunt, her name is March, and she was 16 or 14 at the time, and she started going to see concerts. And at 16, she said she saw Jim Morrison in the Doors.
Oh.
And I was so jealous of it because she's like, she's never seen anybody on stage that could mesmerize a crowd, and especially the women like Jim Morrison could, and they were just all enthralled with him. So I think if I could go see somebody, I'd like to go see a Jim Morrison concert, obviously, the Doors. But Van, I mean, Led Zeppelin, are you kidding me? I would love to see that.
Oh, my God, if that could happen. Well, I know what I'm dreaming of tonight, watching Led Zeppelin live sitting next to Sal Fasano. Thanks for that, Sal. Sal, I appreciate the conversation. Blue Jays roving catching instructor. Best of luck throughout the rest of the season. We'll talk again, and hopefully things go well in Buffalo for you. Thank you, Sal.